Half a day, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
They say that ark is big enough, and they wonder whether he built it big enough and by God's direction so there would be hundreds of thousands, millions of people getting in the ark, and nobody got in except David.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today on the program, Pastor Herron continues our in-depth study of the book of 1 Peter as we return to chapter 3 for a message called When Life Just Isn't Fair.
Peter now gives some inspired words that are incredibly relevant for us today. And if you have your Bibles, turn there. And let's just quickly, if we may, look at three significant helps and admonitions that Peter gives to help in this unjust criticism and how to be happy in hard times and heated moments. Peter talks about practicing the lordship of Christ. This is what helps us build confidence in a relationship with Christ. First of all, he says, practice the lordship of Christ. It's a surrendered heart. This is how he says it in verse 13 and 14 and 15. Who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But he says, if you suffer for the righteousness' sake, happy are you. And then he quotes out of Isaiah 8, verse 12, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And so your enemies might try and harm you, but God says, listen, that's not going to happen. I might let you get hurt, but nothing's going to harm you. And he says, you be ready always give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that lies in you with meekness and fear. That's the first one. Here's the second help for being courageous. And when you're under pressure, life isn't fair, you practice the lordship of Christ. There's a surrendered heart to that. Secondly, he says, maintain a good conscience. This is what it means. Notice in verse 16 and 17. Also, he says, verse 16, having a good conscience. And notice the same term is used up here in verse 21 in the parentheses, but the answer of a good conscience. He says that whereas they speak evil of you, these evildoers, they're going to be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation, your lifestyle in Christ. They are going to feel bad because they know the things they're saying to you are not true. In your conscience, maintain a good conscience. Thirdly and lastly, let me touch on this topic because he moves it from 18 to 22, and let's just walk through this here as simply as we can. The third most powerful tool to be able to be a Christian witness is to be able to keep Christ's example in your mind. When you have a surrendered heart and a good conscience, it leads you to verse 18, which is submission to his example. Notice 1 Peter 2, he says in verse 21, hereunto were ye called. He's saying you're called to this. And notice the same in chapter 3:17. Can you toggle there from 2:21 back up to our text in 3:17? It's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Man, don't just because you're suffering bad because you're doing wrong. That's one thing. When you're suffering bad and difficulties for doing right, he says that could be God's will. Just like chapter 2:21, you're called. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. Do you get that? Look at chapter 3, verse 18, where we are in our text, when he talks about now Christ's example. Keep this in mind. Christ also once suffered for sins, the just, in other words, the sinless, for the unjust, for the sinful. This is Christ's perfect sacrifice that he might bring us to God. It's the idea of ushering us into the very courts of a king. He's going to bring us into who God is, being put to death in the flesh. He was crucified, he was executed, but he was quickened by the Spirit. And I think he's talking about alive physically rather than the Holy Spirit. I think he's talking about his Spirit. And in that idea, he just very simply lays out for us the realization that Christ was that perfect example. And who is gone into heaven? Who? It's Christ. He's the point of this section. and, he says, is on the right hand of God. You know where Christ is right now? He's in the right hand of God. He's interceding for us. And angels and authorities and powers are all made subject to him. You see, he submitted himself to all of the abuse, all the unjust criticism, everything you can think of and worse. He's the ultimate example of an abuse victim. And he's saying, if he did that and ultimately now is elevated and has conquered all death, sin, the grave, he's saying, listen, Christian, someday that will same thing happen to you. Here's the problem that we have. We end up thinking that when I get saved, everything's going to be wonderful and life will be just and we'll get so much better. And the whole of New Testament says that's not true. Listen, when you read the Old Testament, the sign of God's presence was prosperity. You read examples of Old Testament people that gave their life to God and who Jehovah was. It seemed like God just poured out blessing. And that's the way it was in that economy. Even the children of Israel, the nation, God said, you obey me, I'll bless you. And it was all physical things in blessing and prosperity. But you go to the New Testament and the sign of God's presence many times is persecution. Not always, but it certainly is for a whole lot of people today. And I emphasize this because this is where Peter is going with it. If we look horizontally, you're going to get bitter. You look vertically, and your whole life changes. Your perspective changes. I think of the simple illustration of a story that I read, and maybe it's a little dated because I can remember, not as a child, but later hearing about a guy named Stuart Hamblin. He was back in the 50s, and he was really well known as a radio talk show host and comedian. And when I think about him, I think of some of these lessons I want to give to you. Let me give you three and I'll close. Number one is, understand that Christians must expect opposition. When life isn't fair, you've got to expect opposition. It's going to come, okay? Don't think, well, man, you know, I got saved. Or I want Christ in my life and awesome. You know, the fact is, a good conscience gives you an audience, even when enemies become interested. And sometimes it might incite anger and attacks. And I don't think Christians need to be the one that have the bad attitudes. Number two lesson, Christians must serve God by faith and don't trust in results. When you look at this and you realize Noah, 120 years, that was in the day pre-flood, people were living up to 900 years old. 900 years old. You know, you get aches and pains at 50. 900 years old. 120 years, this guy's building an ark with his family, preaching truth and the good news that God wants to save a world. It's going to rain. Yeah, right. You know, ask a no. What are you going to do after high school? I'm going to build an ark. Awesome. You know, in the 50s, hey, how's that ark going? It's great, man. And listen, you need to understand, like this ark, this water's going to come. It's a picture of salvation for you. God wants you to get into the ark. Yeah, right. 100 years. Kids later, hey, what's happening? Well, you know, I've got this ark going. Yeah, at least he's sustaining it. I mean, that's awesome. 120 years, been saying the same message. And how many went into the ark? Noah included. We know it's eight. Only eight? Noah, you got eight people. That's it? I mean, where's your logic? Where's your passion? What's going on here? Only eight. Hey, listen, Christian, don't be discouraged when you end up finding nobody listened to you. Nobody listened to Noah either. And you know the awesome thing is, who shut the door in the ark? Did Noah get out there and get the crank? Yeah, God shut the ark. Because you know why? I think his heart was broken and realized, you know what? God, it's coming, man. It's coming. Judgment's coming. And nobody's getting in this ark. They say that ark is big enough, and they wonder whether he built it big enough and by God's direction so there would be hundreds of thousands, millions of people getting in the ark, and nobody got in except eight. Plenty of room to roam around. It wasn't just so all the twos could end up having a boatload of babies right there, okay? I'm going to tell you something. It's easy as a Christian. You stay faithful to the good news and don't trust in results. Third lesson, we close. We can be encouraged because we are identified with Christ's victory. This is the picture of baptism, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. And help you understand that that baptism is important, my friend. It identifies you with Christ, but it doesn't give you salvation. For our little world, as we've mentioned before, this isn't as big of an event as it is in a whole lot of parts of the world, even today, where believers know when I get baptized publicly, I'm identifying with who Christ is, that family is saying, you're no longer family. You're out. And they run the risk of being killed and persecuted because of that act. And you know why? That's why when I hear these things, I read about these things, I think, you know what? There's some people, they can't even, they're afraid to get in the water. He says as soon as people get saved, that's when you need to be baptized. Now, I say all this because this was the emphasis to understand that Christ wants our hearts to be surrendered, a conscience be clean, and a submission. God, whatever you want, are you willing to do that? Because when sometimes you end up making choices for Christ, life's not going to be that good. I mentioned Stuart Hamblin, who back in the 50s, in the day, was a big comedian and songwriter in Hollywood. And he was noted for his drinking and his womenizing and his partying. And one of his biggest hits at the time was a song called, "I Won't Go Hunting With You, Jake, I'll Go Chasing Women." Now, doesn't that sound like a song out of the 50s? So this particular guy evidently was quite the guy in the day. He was out of L.A., and this young preacher comes along holding this tent revival, and this young preacher is asked to come on Hamblin's radio show, and he does. And out of all that, this guy asks Hamblin to come to his meetings that night, and he does. And later that night, late in the hotel, they stay up late that night talking, and Hamblin comes to Christ. He realizes my lifestyle is not pleasing to God, and I can't change it. He had, you know, some religion, but none of that was good. And he realized it's a personal relationship with Christ. And he, as simply as he could, he asked Christ to come in his life and to save him in a hotel room, 5 a.m. Well, out of that, Hamblin's life starts changing. And he now realizes, you know what? I'm a Christian. When people would ask him, you know, they start seeing changes. If sometimes people will see changes, and if you don't clarify why this happened, they'll assume you just, you know, pulled up the bootstraps and, man, you're a better guy. And he said, you know what? He starts speaking out, not in an obnoxious way, just this is what Christ did for me. He stopped drinking and chasing women and everything that he thought was quote-unquote fun. And he began to lose favor with the Hollywood crowd. And evidently, he was ultimately fired by the radio station because he refused to accept a beer company as a sponsor. I mean, he was the man. But hard times were upon him. Things didn't go well because of the choices he made. So he started writing some Christian songs and thinking that might help and wanted to do something for the Lord as much as he could. He wrote an old song called "This Old House," and he continued to struggle. And then he ran into a longtime friend there in Hollywood named John. John asked him about the rumor that he had, quote, changed his ways. So Hamblin tells John about who Christ is and what he's done in his life. And he said, listen, it's no secret what God had done for me and what he can do for you, John. And so this friend of his from way back said, that's a catchy phrase. Man, you need to write a song about it. And so he did. And that's a little dated of a song. But the simple message of the gospel is that God wants to change a life. And he began clearing things up with people and getting a good conscience. And it was such an awesome thing to realize that God even takes someone like a Stuart Hamblin, God will end up changing things. I guess it caught my attention because the preacher that happened to be preaching in the day was a guy named Billy Graham, and the friend of his was a guy named John Wayne. And I have no idea about where and what all happened with Hamblin, but I do know one thing. I do know that God wants to end up working in your life, in my life. Because as he does that, he gives us the opportunity to be a powerful witness for who God is through Jesus Christ. This is what he wants for our life.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Herron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.